Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It's the top of the week, fellow conspiracy realist, which means it is time for more strange news. Radioactive or contaminated hybrid boar pigs are running loose in Fukushima. But they have been for a while. So I made the decision not to consider that news just yet. But it's a similar situation to what you saw in Chernobyl, where the natural world begins to take over space previously occupied by humans.
We will consider it news when they begin organizing and forming their own their own interim government.
That's what I was going to say. However, their union is making some real inroads.
And let's not forget about that whole episode of Chernobyl, the HBO series, where it's literally just like people hunting down radioactive animals. Don't know that we are too far away from that in this story, but let's save it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one. And we'll keep an eye on it. But for now, we're going to do some international travel. We're going to go to India. We're going to visit the western coast of North America, Canada. And we're also going to stop in Haiti, where some very disturbing, very important things are happening as we record. And a lot of it is not making it to the Western news in the detail that we would like it to. So maybe we start there. Matt, what's the scoop? What's going on? If you were looking at a Haitian newspaper today, what would be the top story, you think?
Well, the assassination of the president. As we record this episode, last Wednesday on July 7th, the president of Haiti, Jovenel Moise, was assassinated in his home, and his wife was put into critical condition. She was injured in the successful attempt at assassination, and both Haitian authorities and international authorities are attempting to ascertain what exactly happened, who was involved, what were the motivations, and I am hesitant to say this, but I will say I'm sure there are some intelligence agencies out there, at least one, that has an understanding of what occurred, because there's some weird stuff that's being found right now. And everything we're going to talk about today is, of course, you know, news that is developing. So as you hear this, there may be new things coming out of Haiti since the time we recorded this. It is now July 12th, just so everyone is aware. I'm going to read from an article from NBC News titled, Haiti Police Arrest Third Suspect with U.S. Ties in President's Assassination. Here's the subtitle. Charles Emmanuel Sanon, S-A-N-O-N, 63, is one of the suspected masterminds behind the attack, they said. Again, that's according to Haitian authorities. So, I suppose before we really even jump into that article, we need to talk about what happened. It was this past Wednesday, July 7th, when at the Port-au-Prince home of the president, again, Jovan Moïse, a large group of people, it was over 25, I believe, I think it was around 26 individuals.
Mm-hmm. Largely Colombian.
Yes, largely Colombian individuals who showed up at the home. According to NBC and other reporting, this group of people stated that they were DEA. It's at least alleged that some of the members of that group were yelling that they were DEA agents as they arrived armed to the home. And, you know, we don't have all of the details on exactly, you know, what happened on a play-by-play scale, but we do know after the conflict, a firefight, the president was killed and his wife was injured and taken to a hospital. Now, the weird part comes in here when we start putting together the individuals with United States connections who happen to be there or happen to play some part in this assassination. There is a police chief, it's the national police chief. His name is Leon Edwards. He held a news conference, and there have been many of these since the 7th. But he said that they've arrested this one individual named Christian Emmanuel Sanon, or I think that's how you say it, S-A-N-O-N. This person was in Haiti. He had flown there earlier, so in June, by private jet, and he had a whole group of security guards with him, at least according to these authorities. And these security guards appear to have played some part in this, again, what do you, attack? Maybe that's the right way, a coordinated attack is a way to describe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, their story is, I believe that they were not attempting an assassination, right? That things went sideways.
It's, again, these are like, there's some strange tales going on here, and it's very difficult to ascertain what is truth, what is a story, you know, and again, it's going to take time to get through all of that stuff. But these guys said that they were going with Sanon as security for him, and that Sanon allegedly wanted to take over as president. And, you know, it's a bit strange to imagine that, right? That they flew to another country to take over. And one of the reasons that that is believable as a story is because you can go on YouTube and find videos of Dr. Christian Sanon discussing the corruption, or, you know, what he believes is corruption in Haitian politics, and, you know, speaking about some things that I personally would tend to agree with it, just in the way that he's speaking about it, in the concepts of taking bribes, getting large corporations in to extract resources, essentially giving up Haiti's power, essentially, in order to gain a little bit of short-term wealth, or, you know, escape some of the poverty that is honestly like striking that nation pretty hard and has been for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole in my own opinions here and how I feel about this guy's, what he's espousing. Ben, do you have anything you want to add before we keep going here?
Yeah, absolutely. One very important piece of the YouTube videos made by Dr. Sanon is one in 2011 called Dr. Christian Sanon Leadership for Haiti, which appears to present him as the next person in power. And it's important to note that the late president of Haiti, Moïse, was not considered popular by any means, and had been accused of corruption, including oddly enough, working with a gang in the area and working with drug cartels in South America, which I think goes into play here.
I think so too. And he had also overstayed his term. mm-hmm. which is kind of weird to think about. President just deciding that, well, I'm not going to leave Goy yet. Just because. It's not that simple, obviously, but it is, it's painted that way by some. I want to jump back quickly to this smaller group of security guards that were with Sanon in June. So according to this NBC article, and this is a quote from the police chief there, Leon Charles, he says, quote, "The mission of these attackers was initially to ensure the safety of Emmanuel Sanon or Sanon, but later the mission was changed and they presented one of the attackers with an arrest warrant for the president of the republic." So they are saying, at least according to the chief of police there, they did have some kind of arrest warrant. I don't know under what authority they had an arrest warrant, but that is really interesting to know that it's officially, that's officially the story coming out of the, you know, law enforcement there. There's some interesting other stuff going on just politically here with the United States and Haiti. The country had been attempting to get security forces from the United States as a temporary measure to kind of calm things down or cool things off, because there is a lot of violence occurring right now in Haiti, at least according to the Western reporting that I've been exposed to. Again, it comes from gang violence, some of the drug cartel activity, other things like that, where just the authorities don't seem to have the resources to handle what they need to handle.
Without even mentioning COVID. Yeah,
exactly. There's a lot going on. And then, you know, they've asked for help. And so thus far, the United States has not, at least to my knowledge, sent any assistance when it comes to law enforcement. Again, this is a dense topic. There's a lot to discuss here. Let's get back to this person in the group of people that they have arrested as of right now. Police have arrested 18 Colombian citizens and three Haitian Americans, who that includes Sanon, who was there. And there are still five people who are allegedly, at least according to law enforcement, they're Colombian nationals, and several people, I think three, at least as of reporting today, three Colombians have been killed. Thus far, Colombian citizens have been killed who were in Haiti. Again, the story, I'm still in that NBC News article. The story from the people who have been arrested are saying they were not trying to kill the president. They were trying to arrest the president. But either way, these people were attempting to remove the sitting acting president from power, mm-hmm. which, you know, it's a tough thing to do if you want to do it. And it's a big decision. It's crazy to me that this can still happen in the modern age, where just a small group of people can essentially topple a government, or at least the head of a government. And we've seen it happen in numerous locations and at numerous times in the past decade. It's just still mind-blowing, I think, that it's possible.
Yeah, agreed, Matt. And the issue here is that, like you said, without getting into the incredibly fraught history of U.S.-Haitian relationships, the U.S. has committed in the past illegal actions against the sovereign nation that is Haiti. And because of this, it's no wonder that a lot of observers, especially non-Western observers, might think, you know, the U.S. has a hidden hand in here, because the U.S. does have a history mm-hmm. of deposing democratically elected leaders, especially in the places it considers part of its regional sphere of influence or its global backyard, whatever you want to call it. With this in mind, though, the thing is that if the U.S. were involved, right, like on a state level, it would be an interesting wrinkle to their typical pattern. Because mm-hmm. the typical pattern historically has been to overthrow a leader who does not participate in corporate-led resource extraction, or to overthrow a leader who is thought to be too far left on the political mm-hmm. spectrum. And that is not really neither of those are really the case in this assassination.
Yeah, I agree, Ben. I guess my little nod to the intelligence agencies at the top here wasn't so much as in they caused it. It's more like they've been watching these groups, I'm pretty sure. And this is my opinion. I think because of the number of Colombian nationals that were involved, and because Moise was allegedly involved in drug cartel activities. That may be our connection here.
I see.
Something went sour with a deal in Colombia because Colombia still is a country that exports a lot of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm wondering if there's something there because we also know that the U.S. has some interesting relationships with the drug cartels in Colombia. I don't know. It doesn't mean that they're connected in any way to this, but it does mean that there's something weird was happening, I think, in the realm of the cartels. And that's what occurred here.
You know what else is interesting here, Matt? In 2019, as recently as 2019, the late president had American mercenaries working on his behalf, right? So this thing that often escapes people is, I think, putting the human side to a country that you've never been to. So if you reside in the U.S., one way to think of this is, let's say a president, it could be any one of the recent ones, Trump, Biden, Obama, take your pick. One of those presidents, whether or not you like them, let's say they get assassinated by a group of people from Canada, right? A group of, why don't we get specific? A group of Quebecois, and they're mad about something. And they say, look, we just busted into the White House to arrest insert president here. We didn't mean to, you know, for them to be murdered. Then you can imagine how, no matter how unpopular that leader would be, mm-hmm. The population of the United States would be screaming for their blood.
It's a threat to sovereignty, right? I mean, it's essentially someone coming in and saying, I have jurisdiction here. I'm coming into your territory. And that's clearly not the case, no matter what their beef might be.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not clear what their beef is.
There's a lot of beef to be had. Mm-hmm. You just kind of decide.
We
just
take your pick. Which flavor of beef are you looking
at? We're at the butcher counter for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just don't know all the specifics yet. As I said at the top, I'm going to give you guys one more wrinkle. Then we're going to be finished with this segment. According to the Miami Herald, the only reason I'm even bringing this up is because the president's spouse was taken to Miami to a hospital there after she was attacked. And that's where she went to get treatment. According to the Miami Herald, several of the Colombians who were detained said they worked for this place called CTU Security. It's a Miami-based private security firm. And there's a person who runs that named Antonio Emmanuel Intriago Valera. And there is a rabbit hole to go down here with CTU Security. It is very, very interesting stuff. And there's not a lot of leads to follow, but the little breadcrumbs that you get, at least personally speaking here, just makes the intrigue all that sweeter.
Because this isn't the guy's only company, right?
That's true. There's all kinds of stuff to look down into here. And then, you know, I don't want to get embroiled in any cartel activities. So good luck to all of you guys and hope you're okay. And don't know where I live. Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this one. We're going to continue to follow this story and we will give you updates if we see anything. We hope you continue to follow it in the news as well. And let us know if you hear anything that you think we should be talking about. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with more strange news.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
And we have returned. We are journeying from Haiti to the Pacific coast of North America, Canada specifically. If you live in the area, or if you live in the West Coast in general, well, unfortunately, if you live in many areas of the world today, you know that there are record heat waves. They are leading to disasters of nigh biblical proportions. Wildfires will tragically be an example that a lot of people in the audience today have experienced firsthand. Quite recently, a heat dome settled over Western Canada and parts of the Northwestern United States. It was there for about 5 days. It pushed temperatures to over 104 degrees Fahrenheit for the rest of the world. That's around 40 degrees Celsius. And this was not completely unprecedented because temperatures have been rising over recent years, but it was unexpected. It shattered records that have been around for a long, long time. As many as 500 people in British Columbia alone are believed to have died as a direct result of this. Hundreds of wildfires are burning across the place as we record today. But something else happened, and it's something that I think deserves more attention. We'll explain why in a moment. About a billion sea animals, marine animals, died because of this heat. If you went out there recently, you would see tons and tons of creatures, mussels. They were essentially cooked by the heat. And look, I'm a fan of seafood. I will come clean. I have never said no to cooked mussels. This might be one of the only situations where I would have had the moral fortitude to do so.
I will always say no to mussels, clams,
yeah,
any of that stuff. You don't no,
like
thank
the,
you.
You don't like the boogers of the sea?
No.
They're the boogers of the sea in their own individual packaging.
Gross.
You're like
sea monkeys. It makes me think of sea monkeys.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'll do baked oysters.
You'll do baked oysters. Okay. So you like your boogers baked. Got it. putting that on the profile. It's on the air. All right. We'll keep it if Doc lets us. But this is, I mean, we're injecting some levity, but this is incredibly serious because, like, if you go to Vancouver, for instance, temperatures were about 100 or so degrees Fahrenheit, but students and scholars used infrared cameras to measure the shore, and they found the temperatures were soaring to 122 degrees Fahrenheit. This means that, first off, Matt, if I could continue grossing you out here, this means that the entire place stank of rotting seafood.
Yeah, dude.
Worse than, yeah, everybody who's smelled rotting seafood, it's like that, but much worse than you could imagine unless you were there. Snails, sea stars, clams, they've been cooked by the water. They are decaying. This is apocalyptic stuff. And it was so hot that when the researchers who discovered this, like Christopher Harley, a marine biologist at the University of BC, it was so hot that when his group was looking at this disaster, they could only go out for small amounts of time. And then they had to run back into like the shade or some kind of more contained environment and eat frozen grapes to, in an attempt to physically cool their bodies down.
That's insane.
Yeah. And it's a loss of biodiversity that's very difficult to replace. And the reason I wanted to talk a little bit about this with everyone today is that anyone who's a fan of The Simpsons or internet memes probably remembers what I call the so far meme, right? It's like a little two-panel thing where Bart Simpson says something like, "This is the hottest summer of my life." And then you can slot in anything. And the next panel is Homer stopping him and saying, "The hottest summer of your life so far." That's what we're dealing with in a very real way. This is not the first example of a mass die-off due to high temperatures, right? But it's a different kind in specificity. And this means that it also is a harbinger, I would argue, of things to come. It seems like every 2-3 months, a report comes out saying, "Oh no, we're getting close to a tipping point." But the truth is that horse has left the barn. You know what I mean? That badger is out of the bag and it is roaming around.
We're in the tipping phase now. We're just in that thing. You can't see it when you're inside it because you're just there.
We're well into the second act, I think. And this, I don't know what this makes me think of, is the very real possibility that the majority of animal wildlife, including the stuff that humans eat, including the stuff that supports oxygen-breathing land animals, I think we're facing a very real possibility that that population will be damaged heavily, will be decimated. A word that doesn't mean to destroy, it means to reduce by a certain factor of 10.
There's reporting coming out of Florida right now with the manatees. We've already, I forget exactly, I'll have to look it up really quickly, but I was just reading this morning about 841 manatee deaths that had just occurred between January 1st and July 2nd, which it's breaking the previous record.
Which was from 2013.
Mm-hmm. So again, like we're kind of like inside this range. I don't know.
Yeah, they're being called unusual mortality events, which if you think about it, if you like thinking about language the way we do, that is a very optimistic name, isn't it? Because how long before these simply become mass die-off events, mass mortality events, or seasonal mass mortality events? And it's like the case, again, you know, it bears odd similarity to the case of Haiti because, you know, you're telling people who maybe have never been to this part of the world why they should care, right? Mm-hmm. But how is this more than words I hear or words I read or clips of videos I watch? In the case of the ocean's ecosystem, and this is not a hippy dippy thing to say, in the case of the ocean's ecosystem, the majority of terrestrial life absolutely depends on it. I mean, you could say maybe animals that live solely in caverns don't depend on it because they're like guano powered, basically. That's how they get their energy from the sun. I still remember when Discovery was our corporate overlord, Matt, Noel, and I all got a copy of, what was it, Earth?
Planet Earth.
Planet Earth. We also got Honey Boo Boo notepads and Cake Boss cake mix. That was
cool. I took the cake mix. I skipped the boo boo. I'm not a child. I'm not someone who proves of child pageantry. But yeah. That's where we learned that the cavern ecosystems of the world are so unique.
Kind of cut off.
but so is the ocean. So I would want to ask you guys, so I brought this to the group today, not just you, Noel and Matt, but those of us listening along at home, what do you think the future of this brings? Do you think this is a tragic anomaly? Do you think this will become, as many people fear and predict, the new normal? I'd love to hear you guys' take on it.
Well, I mean, geez, it just kind of seems like these types of stories keep escalating. In terms of, you know, like wildfires is getting worse and worse each year, die-offs, you know, crop damage, things like that. I mean, I think it is the new normal. Yeah. I don't see much human intervention that's going to mitigate these kinds of things. Certainly, there are environmental controls that have been rolled back from having been eliminated, but it almost feels like a too little too late situation. I feel very, very sad and feels very dire to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels extremely dire to me. There's reporting recently coming out about a massive lake in Antarctica that all of a sudden just drained because yes. of the situation of climate change. And I'm afraid to even say it because I know there's such pushback against that word, against that concept. But, you know, you look around, you look at the news and it's just I feel like it's screaming at me. And depending on where you lie politically, it becomes an issue.
It's the least divisive like term. It shouldn't be. It just means the climate is changing. You can feel it when you walk outside here in Georgia. Well, I mean, I don't know.
How about this? Take the word climate change out of it. Temperatures are now where the climate in parts of the world sits. Terrible things are happening to life and to water resources. I mean, the droughts that are happening all over the planet. If you look at like, here's something insane. Death Valley out in the western United States reached a temperature of 54.4 degrees Celsius.
Yep.
That's 130 degrees Fahrenheit. 130 yeah. degrees.
And just for reference, wet bulb temperature, it's the measure of the absolute limit of human tolerance for this kind of heat is 95 degrees Fahrenheit or 35 degrees Celsius. So this is literally unlivable without the aid of technology. I'm also really glad you guys are bringing up the Machiavellian politicization of phrases like climate change. Nature and the sun and all the large-scale effects, it do not care who you vote for.
Yeah,
absolutely not. Don't even think of it in those terms. The world considers if the world has a consciousness, if you subscribe to the Gaia hypothesis, which is unproven but interesting, then if the world had a mind, it would probably consider human beings a fad that got out of hand, right? Like, oh, primates were cool, but now they're a problem. And this, the reason we can say this is because the idea of climate change, how it entered into this phase of becoming a hot button issue in the world of politics, is itself a conspiracy. Back in the day, let us not forget, folks that would be considered quite conservative were also environmental conservatives. They were conservationists, right? They were responsible for some amazing strides in preserving the natural world in the US in particular. And how did this conspiracy come about? Well, one of them was oil companies. We talked about this last week. Like oil conglomerations actively covered up the science after their own studies, the studies that they financed proved this was real and that some increasingly hot stuff was about to hit the fan. So this concept, right, of the Anthropocene, the age of humanity, and this concept of an inevitable change in the natural world due to human intervention, it has some pretty compelling science. And the people who discovered that science often treated it as the stuff they don't want you to know. I hate to use the tagline, like, you know, the moment in the movie where somebody says, hey, are those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? But this is very very serious. And also, the problem is compounded by the same corporations that have been actively lying to you, if you are a living human being, the same corporations passing the buck, passing the burden of responsibility onto the individual. It does not matter how many straws you save.
No. And it's the same thing with, you know, who killed the electric car. You know, we know who killed the electric car. It was automobile companies, you know, and oil companies. And there is collusion, even if on paper it doesn't exist. But again, I want to mention that movie I talked about a couple of weeks ago. God, I can't remember when. But No Sudden Move, that's about this, you know, collusion between the big Detroit auto manufacturers to cover up scientific studies that showed that, you know, the catalytic converter was able to be made small enough to put into a car. And it's something that, you know, makes a huge difference in pollution, but it was going to be expensive for them. So they were protecting their bottom line. And that's something that happens time and time again.
Before you get back into it, I want to say I watched the movie after you mentioned it, Noel. Yeah. And I actually really enjoyed it.
Didn't you think it was weird, though, how the like the vignetting on the wide-angle lenses in every shot? It's real distracting. I think it was a stylistic choice, but I found it very a little off-putting at times, especially since they're framed largely in the edges of the screen, the main actors, and they're almost like they're bowing out a little bit on their edges. To any non-film nerds, I was talking about a wide-angle lens, which, you know, gives you a larger field of vision, but if you don't affected in post, the edges are rounded and they almost create this funhouse mirror effect on the sides. And Soderbergh very clearly did not want to cover that up because he wanted it to look authentic in some way. But I'm not even sure what era he was mimicking, because I don't think I've ever even seen a 70s movie that had that level of distortion. But it was a very interesting choice. But a cool movie.
So the way we got there is that No Sudden Move, while not based on a true story, is based on the idea of the Big Four conspiring, and that is based on the idea of corporations conspiring against the consumer for short-term or mid-term profit. I will say that before I add the last point about, we're talking about earlier, the massive die-off of marine animals in Western North America, I will say that I felt like No Sudden Move's dialogue could have used a little polishing, but you guys know, as a car conspiracy guy, I was all about it as well. And great acting. Benicio, oh, if you're in this, you know, I'm not just saying it because we're both Bens. I thought you were kick-ass in that.
Agreed.
So back to this matter at hand, and I will sew this up as quickly as possible. Really, this is the point I was getting to. This is what I was trying to make. So corporations are passing this responsibility onto you in a massive swindle, to be quite honest. The reason I say it doesn't really matter how many straws you save is because commercial fisheries are responsible for much, much more plastic waste. And if you want to put politics aside, which is the important thing to do when you realize that you are the potential victim of a conspiracy like this, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, do you plan to be alive in 2040 or 2050 when the marine ecosystems are projected to collapse entirely? That's a question that's up to you on a case-by-case basis. I would love to hear your take on this, especially because, as we said, we know it can be a hot-button issue for any number of reasons. So let us know what you think. 1-833-STD-WYTK, conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors, and we'll return with more Strange News.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Attention, true crime enthusiast. Searching for a way to unwind after diving deep into the mysteries that keep you up at night? Look no further.
Introducing Lazarus Naturals, your trusted companion for CBD relief. With a commitment to transparency, Lazarus Naturals oversees every step from farm to doorstep, ensuring purity and quality you can trust.
Visit LazarusNaturals.com today and discover how CBD can help you decompress and recharge for your next investigation.
That's LazarusNaturals.com.
Lazarus Naturals, your partner in unraveling the mysteries of true crime.
Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's LiveNation.com/concertweek to buy now. And we're back with our final strange news story of today's episode. And it is most definitely what you would call a conspiracy. In fact, I believe one of the charges being levied at the offending parties here, it has the word conspiracy in it. So obviously everyone knows that COVID vaccines are a thing. There are some parts of the world that are getting less of them than others. In the United States, it seems like pretty much anybody that wants to get one at this point probably has gotten one. Maybe I'm overstating the case there, but it does feel like they are pretty accessible. There is still, we talked about politicization of climate change and those terms. There's still some pretty intense politicization of vaccination. Funny thing, my daughter actually got her second shot the other day and felt terrible, as I think several of us felt pretty crappy after our second shot. And I walked into a room to check on her and she goes, "Dad, Joe Biden microchipped me." Obviously she was being sarcastic because she's a little smart aleck goth hipster kid, but it's funny because there are still some people that somewhere along the spectrum of thinking that, or the 4G or 5G conspiracy, it's a thing. But we're not talking about those kind of conspiracies. We're literally talking about opportunists that are taking advantage of people who genuinely want to get the vaccine, specifically in India. There is a fantastic article in the New York Times about a case that's going on, an investigation that's going on into thousands of COVID vaccines that were given out to individuals in that country that signed up for them, paid for them, and obviously wanted to get them, wanted to be inoculated. But instead of getting what was supposed to be the Oxford AstraZeneca brand of the vaccine, which over there is branded as COVID Shield, which I didn't realize there were like different like brandings of it. I thought they called it like the Pfizer or the AstraZeneca. But yeah, COVID Shield. Instead were absolutely bilked out of their money. These shots cost between $10 and $17 a dose, which in and of itself seems sketchy to me, but I'm not fully aware of the framework that country has in place for the vaccine. Obviously here, no one has had to pay for it, even if you didn't have insurance. But instead of that syringe being full of COVID vaccine, it was full of a saline solution. So there are
investigations underway. Vishal Thakur, who is a police officer in Mumbai, said that those, quote, in the New York Times article by Hari Kumar, was quoted as saying, those arrested are charged under criminal conspiracy, cheating, and forgery. And that is for a few reasons. Around 2,600 people came to these, they were referring to them in the article and in other reporting as camps, which are these, you know, kind of various setups, probably not too similar from the way here in the United States. There were churches that were becoming hubs to get your vaccine. There were even sort of pop-ups almost with like tents, you know, where you'd see them on the side of the road and you could go get your vaccine with or without an appointment sometimes. So I don't think this is too different than that. But this actually goes pretty deep because many of the organizers involved in this scam allegedly were medical professionals. And they were essentially like forging these documents that made the syringes and the doses look legit, and also the cards that you would get to show, the vaccination cards that we've all seen. According to the Indian government's online portal for tracking vaccines, the hospitals and the organizers, or rather the hospitals the organizers claimed to have used, the records did not match the doses and the vaccination certificates that they received. So there was some collusion going on between medical professionals, hospitals, and whomever is at the heart of this scam, which we don't entirely know yet. So there was one person who was a victim of this scam, Neha Alshi, who in the New York Times article claimed there are doubts about whether we were actually given Covishield, whether it was just glucose or expired waste vaccine. And there is, there's, you know, it's obviously very shocking. There is an outcry. There are public interest attorneys in Mumbai that are trying to bring this to the highest court. There's already been a lawsuit filed, the court responded in saying that it was heartbreaking and shocking, and that these types of incidents of fake vaccinations is on the rise. And I mean, this, you know, this isn't the first time that we've seen medical scams, you know, in India. For example, apparently there was a large spate of fake oxygen tanks that were distributed, and also other fake drugs. This is something I don't know that we hear too much about that here in the United States. I'm sure it happens, but it doesn't seem as widespread. And it's a shame because, you know, however you feel about the vaccine, for whatever reason, it is certainly something that could cause people to call into question whether or not they should get the vaccine or not. And because they say, well, why bother? Because clearly it's just a scam. Or why should I even try? Because I'm just going to be scammed and I won't even be getting the shot for real. So I don't know, guys. That's pretty much where the story is. It's something that we're following and it's developing. But I just don't understand. They only made like $28,000 too, in American dollars, from the entire scam. And whomever, you know, was at the heart of this, it couldn't have been just a couple of people. It had to have been, you know, passed around between maybe like 5 to 10 people that it would take to pull this off, almost like a heist. You got to have the bag man, you got to have the inside man, you know, there's all these different roles to play to even pull this off, to get those forgeries and to make it look legit enough that people would bite. But it just seems to me to be the worst kind of betrayal. Someone's coming trying to get help and you're literally giving them nothing and taking their money.
Yeah. For, I guess if we did a calculation, just equivalency, that 28 grand is a little over it's almost 2.1 million rupees, but still putting it in those dollar terms, it seems like they put these people in very serious danger for relatively small profit, you know what I mean? And it's heartbreaking. And I think you're right, Noel, that there are, you know, there are multiple scams that have developed here in the U.S. as well. A lot of those were things like fake COVID vaccination cards, but those are different because they had the participation of the person getting the card or the informed consent to break the law in that way. But I know that the FBI was also alerting people to scams in the U.S. back in 2020 with, they were more like folks trying to offer a fee to say they would get you vaccinated and then never actually coming through, you know, just getting you to cash app them or pay them via some electronic method. And they made a lot of money because people were rightly terrified. This is a real blow too, because, you know, a lot of people have championed India's approach to proprietary pharmaceuticals. You know, it's one of the world's most populated countries, and they stood up to international regimes and they said, look, we don't care that you want to charge people, you know, $500 for this basic medicine in your country. We know how to make it and we're just going to do it. So it's like, I think that's an enormously human attitude. And it's a shame that bad actors have besmirched India in this way.
You know, Cuba's doing the same thing, by the way. I was just reading an article about that, developing their own vaccine and saying, sorry, who cares? Anyway.
Well, and that's the issue, too. Like, we were talking about some of the issues that people have with Bill Gates. I think there was one listener mail episode where somebody sent us kind of like a wanted poster about how he, like, you know, supposedly like manufactured the vaccine. All of that is obviously bogus. But one thing he has done is speak very much in favor of the opposite of what you guys are talking about, like absolute proprietary you know, medication and patent, essentially like keeping those patents on lock, even in the face of the scarcity of the vaccines in countries like India. And I didn't mention this at the top, but I think we all know this and many folks know this. India, you cannot get an appointment like you can here. Here, it's almost a joke because here for a time, it was like, it was exclusive. It was a little hard to get one. And then it kind of opened up and it was easier to get one. And now you don't even really hear about people going to get them anymore because people who wanted to get them have already gotten them. That is not the luxury that people in India have. The reason that this was happening at like very upscale apartment complexes, for example, folks, you know, in the upper class in India that were having a hard time getting a vaccine, that were having a hard time getting an appointment. So it's absolutely even more opportunistic because they're capitalizing on the scarcity of it to make, you know, a buck. And there is another example of around 500 people in West Bengal that also supposedly received fake vaccines. So now there's this distrust of the vaccine in general in a country with, you know, many X times our population and that has really had a bad go of it recently. Like the numbers are rising in India in terms of outbreaks. So I just don't understand. I mean, I do understand human nature just kind of can suck sometimes, but apparently only 5% of Indian citizens are fully vaccinated right now.
And it's difficult because, you know, due to the density of population clusters in India, which does, by the way, remain on paper the world's largest democracy, but the population density is such that this should have been one of the places vaccinated first. Honestly, as soon as there was a working version, because when you have that many people living close together in these conditions, you're essentially building an R&D lab for an infection like COVID to evolve itself. You know what I mean? That's where these variants come from. And then if we're in a race, it's like that game Pandemic when, you know, the scientists try to create a cure or a treatment while the infection is trying to evolve such that the treatment they do come up with is no longer effective. So what happens, you know, people are all like the Delta variant is going through the US right now, and it's only one of the variants going through. So this has inspired groups like Pfizer to say, hey, we should sell everybody a third shot, a booster shot, right? And it helps people for sure. Also helps Pfizer.
Yeah. Fauci said, you don't need it.
Yeah, but what happens? I mean, that's what I'm saying. What happens if eventually 60, 80, 90% of the population of India does get vaccinated, but by the time they reach that vaccination rate, they're vaccinated for something that is no longer the big threat?
You know? Right.
Well, because, yeah, the COVID's going to the Olympics, guys. I was just reading today about Japan and the emergency, the situation that they're in right now. And still going to do the Olympics, as we talked about a couple weeks ago. Here we go.
Yeah, that's the IOC's decision, though.
I know, but it just a lot of potential for some jumping to happen, for some more variants to occur when there are, you know, that many people from that many different places all gathered together.
And you're right, Ben. The board game analogy you made is very, very apt. It's certainly. When you see the board of that of Pandemic, the game, I mean, you see how It's called a global pandemic for a reason. I mean, we're sort of all in this together, and yet the politicization of vaccination, of the virus and pointing the finger has sort of made it this isolated conversation when it really shouldn't be. I mean, it should be like, let's figure out how to work together on this. And it's become this kind of weird one-upsmanship between countries, whether it's like, you know, pointing out whose fault it is between the U.S. and China or whomever, and this type of sharing of vaccines. You know, I don't quite get it. Given that we are all, not to sound like a hippie, but, you know, all citizens of spaceship Earth and all that, you know, it seems like something that we should have thought about from the start. But I guess that human nature, again, rears its ugly head just in a larger scale.
And some of the world's most powerful people looked at the situation and said, I wonder if I can get just far enough into space to say I went to space. That should be my priority.
For 20-something million dollars?
It's insane, you guys. Richard, I mean, the fact that Richard Branson just like, yeah, I'm going to do it first just to like piss off Jeff. You know, I'm not a relevant enough billionaire anymore. Let me make some news, you know?
You guys.
I do want to say, though, the building that they launched that like is the basis for Virgin Galactic, it was paid for with more than $2 million in mostly taxpayer money.
Of course it was. I have no doubt about that, and nothing surprises me anymore. But this story is very sad.
It is, but I got to dovetail off what we're talking about right here, specifically with billionaires. Yeah. I read some reporting over the weekend about Sun Valley, Idaho. Are you guys familiar with this?
Yeah, we had some folks on Here's Where It Gets Crazy posting about this.
Oh, dude, we did that Davos episode, and you know we got to dive into Sun Valley, Idaho, go hang out at the, I guess, they've got lots of spas there.
Summer camp for billionaires. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to do that soon.
Can we get an invite?
No. No, but we like Anderson Cooper can hang out on the periphery and wave a mic around and say, hey, hey, talk to me. Mark.
What happened to your eyebrows? That's not fair. I don't want to judge people on physical stuff. He's got a lot going on.
But anyway, worth it because it's the same kind of place where deal making happens.
Well, let me ask you this, Noel. What do you think the likelihood of these scams or scams like them continuing is in the near future?
Very high. I mean, we're talking 5%. But it's again, I don't know. I don't fully understand the framework of government regulation in India. It just seems like such a large country. And I know that there's a lot of opportunity for corruption the larger your bureaucracy is and the larger your population is. So they'll figure out how to do it more cleverly, I suppose, you know. But I mean, the big tell was that people watch the news. They knew they were supposed to feel a little ill after getting that shot. And they you know, now people are like questioning whether they got it or not. Did I get sick enough? Did I feel the side effects enough? What is it? I mean, at big picture, I think it's going to be a hit to that vaccination rate in a very, very, very large country.
That's a very good point. And given the wide variety of possible versions of this infection and how it, like the symptoms that people do or do not encounter, it can be difficult to tell whether or not you have COVID or have had it unless you do get a test either for antibodies or to see if you're presently infected. And you might just be left guessing. I feel okay saying this because it's true and it doesn't make me look great. In the early days of the pandemic, got a little in my head and I was talking with my folks and I told my mother, you know, I think I might have COVID. And she said, why? And I said, well, you know, I'm like losing my sense of smell, my sense of taste. And she was like, Ben, don't worry. You never had a sense of taste.
So, you're just getting old, baby.
Okay. So you do need a test, I think. It's a serious problem. It's one set, like Will said, I think it's set to continue.
Oh, Mama Bolin. We need to hang out with your mom.
I don't think I've met your mom, Ben.
Seriously.
She goes to another school.
Just your pops. Oh, no. Is she from Canada? Is this your Ben's Canadian mom?
I love it. Gosh. I mean, this is an important story. You know, one of the most frightening things about this is similar to the marine animal die-offs. It's what it paints for the future, right? Because like you said, you know, imagine you're a person in India, you get a chance to get vaccinated. You're well aware of this story. You're not a doctor. How do you know what they're putting in you is the actual vaccine, right? So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, especially even when, you know, in this country, I think I feel pretty confident that I got the real vaccine. I feel like most people do. The conspiracies are still aplenty, right? Even if we're pretty confident that we're getting these from actual medical practitioners, and you start to distrust, you know, the process beyond just these kind of more fringe type conspiracies and just say, why even bother? That really could throw a wrench into things globally. And like you said, Matt, this is happening in other countries too. So something to keep an eye on. But it, certainly we haven't seen the end of old COVID-19. Not to, you know, put too fine a point on it or to make it too dire. Obviously, things are better in many respects. But when you hear stories like this, it does kind of put a little dent in your enthusiasm about how things are going.
That's very well said. Yeah, because the world is not moving in step. The path to recovery. And each of the stories we've discussed in this week's segment are stories that are inevitably going to have a follow-up. Hopefully we'll learn more about the conditions on the ground in Haiti and what led to the assassination. Hopefully the species will learn some way to prevent further, or at this point, honestly, mitigate further mass die-offs. And hopefully there's a way, whether through public policy or private enterprise, to tackle the looming danger of evolving infections and the rush toward vaccination. We've hit on some controversial topics today, folks.
Woohoo!
Yep. And we want to know what you think. In each case, we have engaged with some ongoing conspiracies, not theories, conspiracies. So we'd love to hear your opinions. We'd love to hear your take, if you have personal experience in India, in Haiti, in the part of the Northwest where these die-offs are occurring, or in Florida, let us know what you experienced. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube at Conspiracy Stuff or Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram. You can give us a telephone call at 1-833-STD-WYTK.
That's right. Let us know what you'd like for us to call you and then leave a message. You've got 3 minutes. We ask that you put right up front exactly what you would like to be on air if you're going that route. Then if you want to say anything personal to us, please put that at the end.
Oh, I do want to say on a personal note, Matt, just for an example, thank you for laughing at that statement from my mom. That is a true story.
I'm sure it's a true story.
Oh boy. I'm
just imagining her so sweetly saying, "Oh, sweetheart, you never could taste anything."
She said she wasn't joking. No, she said you never had taste to begin with. Anyway.
Tell her to give the, we need to convince her to leave messages, like check-ins with you via our messaging system. Oh my God.
No, then we'd have all of our parents and we calling could get in our show.
We could get another certain Bolin to give us like anonymous intel.
Oh my God. So Matt, what does somebody do if the phone call is not enough time to convey their story with the fullness it deserves?
Yeah, that, you're right. Let's move on. It should be an email instead, because you can add links, attachments. Well, be careful with attachments, because you know we may not be able to open those. you can send those to our good old-fashioned email address. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less.
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit livenation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's livenation.com/concertweek to buy now.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.